When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna.
And together, we created the Cogno Movement System. And we'd like to welcome you to the New Life Perspectives radio show,
where we're going to be sharing with you tools, tips, and ideas that are going to change your life.
Hello, hello in UK Health Radio Land. I'm Liz Larson, and I'm here with my friend,
Bill McKenna.
Hey, Bill McKenna. Today, we have a really, really fun guest. This is going to be a great conversation. And I was just saying off camera that Bill and I would normally have talked this over before the show, but we have not. So this is going to be really fun. Our guest today is Dr. Todd Frisch. And he specializes in restorative medicine, nutrition, homeopathy, kinesiology, acupuncture, iridology, traditional Chinese medicine, and facial diagnosis. And he lives in St. Louis, Missouri. Today, we're going to talk about facial diagnosis, but that is a massive CV and a massive amount of education. So this should be really, really fun. So Dr. Todd Frisch, he retired from private practice, but since then he's on what he calls a mission to change the medical narrative from what's wrong to what's not right. And so that'll be an interesting thing to explore. But he's dedicated in what he calls his twilight years to sharing his time-tested clinical pearls with all of those who are passionate about restoring health in our nation's crumbling health as a group, but as a system as well. So welcome, Dr. Todd Frisch.
Thank you. You didn't say I once scored 54 points in a basketball game, but we'll let that, we don't have to include that if you don't
want. I mean, that's a lot of points in a basketball game. I have to say, officially, I have never scored even 1 point in a basketball game. How about you, Bill?
You know what? It's been so long. I was an absolute horrible basketball player.
Awesome. Yeah, it's funny because I always say I don't math and I don't sport, but I do help Olympic athletes. So go figure, right?
How cool.
Dr. Frisch, would you tell us why in the world did you study all of these modalities?
Well, you know, I want to enhance this paradigm shift from, you know, we're trained as physicians to ask what's wrong. And I get that. And it's very valuable. The problem is, if you're intellectually honest, you will have patients come in. We know something's wrong. They know something's wrong. Yet every medical test we run, x-rays, blood work, CTs, whatever it might be, comes back textbook midline normal. And, you know, here's where females get abused in medicine. It's, oh, honey, you're stressed. Let's take 20 milligrams of Prozac. So now you don't care about the fact you feel like crap, which, you know, I never felt was a real great way to start things. So it really, I realized you got to kind of be two-thirds sick before medicine sees anything wrong. And that's not a slam against medicine. It's just more observational. Now, once you cross that line, you have a named diagnosis. You want a what's wrong doctor in your camp. That's where medicine shines. But Two-thirds sick can be a little too far in a lot of cases. You know, we talked about restorative medicine. I'm trying to change that mantra also. You know, in the beginning, I was labeled a quack, and, you know, nobody likes to be labeled that, but I was kind of helping people, and I kind of just went with it, even though it kind of hurt my feelings. But then there was this shift when they realized, well, we're not quacks, but we're alternative, and so you could choose this or this, and that was equally as offensive to me as quack, to be quite honest with you. And then we transitioned from there into what they call complementary medicine. Now we're complementing medicine. And that then shifted. We all took courses in CAM, complementary and alternative medicine. And that went along for a little bit. And then they decided, well, we're not going away. We're going to call this integrative medicine. So Western medicine integrated what we did. And that lasted a very short time because medicine really bought into it, at least the forward thinkers, and they now call it functional medicine, which I, like you, Liz, it sounds like math to me. I'm like, you know, math has its place, but not in medicine. You have to think a little differently. So I'm trying to smash that term functional and change it to restorative medicine. Let's restore people back to a place they should have never left in the first place. What a great idea.
That is so much more intelligent than chasing it after the fact. It has become so dense in the body, and good luck.
Yeah.
So we're both so very, very curious about one aspect of the things that you do, which is your face reading. Now, this is the first time I heard about this. Years ago, I was like, what? They're saying that you can actually tell about not only a person's personality, but also about any impending issues with their health through their face. Now, certainly, you know, I kind of knew this intuitively because, you know, alcoholics, you look at their nose and you're like, hey, they got a bunch of veins sticking out. I think that one's been drinking there. He's been hitting the sauce real hard, you know. So, you know, clearly you started noticing some things, or, you know, people had a massive amount of acne or something, and you're like, you know, there's probably something going on there. But this has been taken to an actually extraordinary level, and it's ancient, too. It has ancient roots.
Yeah, it is. But, it very, very much is.
And we're so lucky, everybody listening here, world's most leading authority here. This is written the book on it. So tell us about it. Tell us about face reading and what is this? Where did it come from? How does it work?
Yeah. So it's not new. And first of all, we all do facial diagnosis. When you meet someone or your child comes down in the morning and you look at them and you go, you okay? Something bothering you? You feel okay? What did you see you didn't see the day before? So again, we have to realize we all do facial diagnosis on some level. We just put some legs. My daughter and I wrote this book. She kind of took my life experience, and if I'd have written the book, it'd have been 9,000 pages. Nobody would read it because I could never stop. But we kind of squeezed it in. It's ancient. In China, it's called Mian Sheng, and Japan, it's called the Art of Bo Xin. Both mean facial diagnosis. And every lump and bump and line on our face has a message to tell us. Now, I did a facial diagnosis on both of you, which was lots of fun because, you know, in a clinical setting, I've got history in front of me. I've probably done blood work. I've asked a bunch of questions, and then I would do my evaluation and then come back and give my report. The way I do it today is I don't know a thing about either one of you, and I simply read the tea leaves, and the results, I think, Bill, you said I was in the 90% plus accurate, and that's pretty normal for what's going on. So my motivation was really, I was motivated. As a matter of fact, I'll just read it from the dedication of the book. So dedication to my medical failures. When I failed, I dove deeper, studied harder, and continued to search for that missing puzzle piece. To all of you, I'm eternally grateful. It was my failures that motivated me. It annoyed me that they didn't get well, because I wanted everyone to get well. And, you know, it's illogical to think that, but why not have that as a starting goal? You know, you want a starting goal that I want to help 50% of the people? Well, that's a stupid starting goal. I wanted to help 100%. And the ones that didn't respond, I would kind of, well, what did I not see? Is there anything? Kind of a sad story, and I'll just jump into it and do it quickly. I had a gentleman, he was just a spiritual giant. His name was Jack, and I went to church with him. And when Jack came in the room, there was just a difference in the room. He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't self-assured. He just was a gentle man with great spiritual strength. And he would always bring his medical blood test to my office and have me look at it because there's normal range, and I'd squeeze him into an optimal range. And he came in on a Tuesday around 11 o'clock, and he said, hey, I got my blood work, Dr. Todd. I'll set up an appointment. I said, Jack, I got a couple more patients. Give me a – just hang a little bit. We'll look it over, and then we'll go to lunch. He said, oh, that'd be great. So I looked at his blood test, and I said – I knew his medical doctor ran the test. I said, what did Dr. Mike have to say? And Jack said – Dr. Mike said, I wish my blood test was as good. And I said, Jack, not only is it good medically, this is the best it's ever been. You are textbook midline normal. You've never had a healthier blood work. That was a Tuesday. On Thursday, he was jogging in a place called Queenie Park in St. Louis, and he was dead before he hit the ground. And I can't tell the story without feeling this grip in my chest, like, I just told him his blood test was the best it's ever been, and he's clinically dead. And I thought, I got to make a change. This isn't working. And I just dug deeper. I studied Ayurvedic medicine. I studied astrology. Get a lot out of astrology. I'm sure there's benefit in it, but it didn't work for me from a clinical standpoint. Studied deep in the Chinese medicine. And I just looked for those ways. I studied iridology. I went out to California and studied with Dr. Bernard Jensen. I spent a week at his ranch. I studied macrobiotics. I was macrobiotic for about a two-year period of time. I studied with Michio Kushi. I had this thirst for knowledge. I'm a bucket face, so I love knowledge. I love to put things into my bucket and learn. So I just had this thirst, unquenchable thirst, to understand how the human body works. And it just evolved into where it is today. And it ended up with a book that, again, my daughter wrote called WTF. Doesn't sell well in church bookstores, but Why the Face, A Practical Guide to Understanding Health and Personality Through Facial Diagnosis. I've got over 80 books on facial assessing. The majority talk about personality. I wanted something that had a physiological component, and that's where I spent most of my energy on this book, trying to get into the, psychologically is great and very important, but physiologically, I needed to, is there a liver weakness? Is there some gallbladder issues? Is there some blood sugar issues? Is there some subclinical thyroid? And it just made me much more understanding of my patients and made me a much better doctor.
I love this, that your motivation came out of your failure. A lot of times in medicine, what we see is something that is not working, especially in diagnosis, and they just dig in deeper and keep doing it because it's the standard.
Right.
Right. I heard a statistic, and I don't know if it's true, so I'll ask you about it. I heard a statistic that medical diagnosis is often no more than 5% truly accurate. And it almost sounds like what you're saying about your friend with a fabulous report.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think about that?
Well, the stats are, you have to look at the unbelievably good diagnostic area. You got to think of Cleveland Clinic, Mayo Clinic, that type of thing. Mayo Clinic upon autopsy is right 43% of the time. Upon autopsy, the patient's clinically dead, and 43% of the time they were correct, which meant, do the math, 57% of the time the patient was being treated for something that they did not have. Does that scare you? Scares me. And again, this is top-notch clinics in the world. What happens when you go to some town like I live in? I now live in northern Wisconsin, and healthcare isn't on the standard of Mayo Clinic. And so, I have this belief it's much easier to stay healthy than get healthy. So I don't think enough emphasis is put on staying healthy. We're looking for these magic bullets and all these different ways to help. But we're not emphasizing self-responsibility. We're not emphasizing what can you do to help yourself. And I think that is a huge mistake. And that needs to change. We will not save this country's healthcare system because it's not worth saving. It is not an adequate system. There has to be a change. And it has to start with self-responsibility.
Well, I think it has to do with exactly what you're talking about, that so often it's by the numbers, it's by these numbers on a report, and the physician isn't really actively looking at the whole human. You know, if it's oncology, they're looking at numbers for cancer, markers for cancer. I have a client actually who came to see me because she was having a bone marrow transplant. They said she has leukemia. And very, very aggressive leukemia. And the issue was that the process they have to do the bone marrow transplant itself could kill you. And some of the post-operative infections, in fact, pre-operative infections become an issue. So she wanted to clear the fear out of her body in deciding, do I go forward with this or not? So she did, and she had really good outcomes. And she's about a year and a half in. She said she is feeling better than she ever has in her whole life. She is living life to the fullest. She's happier than she's ever been. She looks better than she's ever looked. And she goes back and has testing every 3 months. They're looking for cancer. And on the last one, they said, well, you probably have 2 months to live. She's like, what are you talking about? I feel amazing. 2 months before you said I look great. So I think they're looking at numbers. And I wonder if someone like you had looked at her and said, you know, you're looking great. Like your face looks great. You're feeling healthy. Maybe leave out whatever the numbers have to say, you know, on the reports possibly. But I think what you're talking about is brilliant. And it goes along with what Bill and I do. It's a whole person. It is your psychology. It is those numbers. It is your physiology. It is your past. It is your opinions on things. And so it all has to be looked at together to really create a full picture of what is a human. A human is not just these numbers. So we're already up against our first break. We'll hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network. And then we come back. Maybe let's talk about what you actually found in our readings. That might be fun for everybody to hear what this really is all about. So interesting. All right. UK Health Radio, take it away.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. We're talking with Dr. Todd Frisch about the medical healthcare system, but also about a tool that he uses called a facial diagnosis. So, Bill, you got to talk to Dr. Frisch this morning, and I talked to him yesterday.
Okay.
What was about for you?
Oh, my gosh. It was so fun. I gotta share with everybody. He starts going down the list of, you know, each individual part of my face, my ears, and everything. And, you know, to cut right to the chase on this, when he got done, he got through my chin. It was like he knew me all my life. You know, he knew me. And my character, it's like I am who I am, you know, I am who I am, you know, and my, you know, the fact that, you know, we make no bones about it, right? Both you and me, Liz, we're on purpose. we know we're doing the work that we're supposed to do. This is where we're supposed to be, and we're supposed to be helping humanity, and we're doing this type of work for that. We're very, very, very clear. And without saying anything, he was like, oh, okay, well, this line over towards your nose, you know, that specific area, that's when we see people that are on purpose. And so I was, you know, it was kind of interesting. And I am also just generally very kind of headstrong, you know, determined. You know, I have really good perseverance. That's just, I called it my endurance is I've always said I'm not sure if it's a blessing or a curse, because, you know, it just means you can beat things harder than the next guy and you won't quit. But there was one other really interesting aspect. Well, there's many aspects, but he's looking at my ears, you know, in a picture, and he goes, oh, you had some sort of family issue, you know, looks like it was your dad, and, you know, and it happened between the ages of 10 and 12. I mean, how freaking specific is that? And he said a trauma. He said a trauma. And I was like, oh my God. You know, I went back and did the math, you know, and that puts me right about the third grade. So it was probably the very first, which kicked off a series of traumas, but I got moved when I was in the second grade to the third grade. I went from a public school to a private Catholic. And, you know, I went from, you know, things were great to I was in a place I didn't know anybody. Nobody knew me. You know, I didn't have any friends. And for whatever reason, I didn't do the work, you know, and I came home the first semester. I remember it was like 3 F's and a D, something like that. Something on that order. Is 2 F's and a D or 3 F's and a D? I'm not sure. But, oh my God, you know, I took my very first real life beating, you know, a good old fashioned Irish beating, you know, where we're not kidding. So anyway,
that's really not funny anymore, but you know, back in the day, that was an acceptable thing that parents could do.
How things were done, you know. You know, the bruise, the big thick strap, and the actual bruises, you know, kind of looking like, you know, how the strap will, anyway, a lot of bruising and what have you. And anyway, over that series of time from about, you know, 10 to 12, that was, you know, those were some, difficult years of terror, I would say, beatings and terror, you know, kind of in between the two, and some real significant kind of unpleasantries. Anyway, so I was like, oh my God, well, you know, I had forgiven all of this, you know, that was part of all of my, you know, my serious things I went through. But he said something that was really important. And he said that you have a trauma. You have a trauma. And, you know, although I had forgiven, you know, actually my body really felt those things. And it felt the adrenaline rush of, you know, all of these things and, you know, being constantly on alert. You know, you can imagine you're just on alert. You know, what's next? Because you don't know where it's coming from.
Right.
And hypervigilance. Anyway, so today I was like, well, after our meeting this morning, and I was like, oh, okay, well, great. I'm going to process that. And so I made sure to do the work that myself and Liz do, because, you know, I know that all of these traumas, they hold back a good life. even though I have forgiven and stuff, it's like, oh, you need to process the trauma of it. So I did it. I'm not sure if it reflects in my ear, or I'd be happy to show you my ears. But the interesting thing is it true that when we change our personality, meaning process a trauma or forgive or whatever, you know, that particular face aspect changes, or are we just left with it indelibly?
No, not only does the face change, it should change. And this is why doing an initial evaluation and then several years later doing it again, we'll see dramatic changes in a person when they step towards a healthy place. You know, I always taught my patients there's three levels of health. There's a physical level of health. And I was very adept and good at that. There's a mental, emotional level of health. The debate is anybody good at that? And then there's a spiritual level of health. And all those have to be factored into the healing equation. To ignore any of them is medical malpractice, as far as I'm concerned. Now, the problem is medicine is handicapped in excess of knowledge. We're so into detail and data. It's such strong in that area, we quit being intuitive. And the really good doctors will balance that logic and that science with an intuitive entity. And that combination is very, very important from a healing standpoint. And the body marks itself. Anytime there's a trauma, an event, an injury, it will mark itself. And there's these microsystems that we can use to manage it. We've all heard of foot reflexology, there's hand reflexology, and acupuncture is something called auriculotherapy, where we treat just points on the ear. And facial diagnosis is just another microsystem. And there's a tendency to poo-poo it and put it in the woo-woo category. But really, we think of this. We start with one cell. Then we divide to 2 and 4 and 8 and 16. And the 16-cell embryo is called a marola. That's a Buckethead comment, by the way. But why is it so illogical to think that that information wouldn't be transmitted from the one cell we start with to the trillions of cells we end up with? It's illogical not to think there'd be a system that we could use that could help that. So the changing in the face, it is very important. And it goes both ways. As things happen in a negative, it'll impact us and it'll show on our face. Conversely, if things go in the right direction, it can happen. Just a quick story. I invented a company or a system, and it turned into a national company. I had no intention of having a national company. It's called Shape Reclaimed. And it's an anti-inflammatory, immuno-enhancing. It's a mild detox, and the side effect is weight loss. But we've got 500-600 practitioners across the nation. And this one practitioner in Nebraska was struggling with a patient. And I personally knew this patient. She had come, heard me do a talk in Chicago. And she was well over 400 pounds. And she had done very, very well. She's lost 240-some pounds. I mean, she's really, really doing very well. But she was having some digestive issues, and this doctor couldn't figure it out. So I had a picture of this gal sent to me, and I went through it. And back to your ear thing, I was giving her the report, and I said, something happened at age 11. This was very specific, age 11, and the phone went dead. I mean, this gal had never married. She was morbidly obese. She ended up, she was a teacher and became a guidance counselor. Just a beautiful spirit. This woman was just a wonderful human being. But the phone goes dead at this common age 11. And I said, are you still there? And she said, I'm going to share something with you. I was sexually abused by my father starting at age 11. And I said, when did you start putting on weight? And now she's crying on the phone. She said, age 11. She put on a coat of armor, literally a coat of armor, fat, to not let any man ever come near her. Again, she never married. And here's the interesting thing. She was having bowel problems and constant diarrhea, couldn't stop it, nothing worked. So in acupuncture, there are five elements. And the metal element is your lung and large intestine. And each one of these five elements has an emotion that goes with it in a deficiency or an excess. And the emotion of the metal element, lung and large intestine, is despair. She had been treated many times for depression. None of the drugs worked. Actually, the drugs made her worse. But once I made her brain aware that it was despair, guess what went away? Her diarrhea. And it was just a remarkable thing. I didn't give her any probiotics. I didn't give her any bowel support. I didn't give her L-glutamine for leaky gut. I didn't do anything other than make her brain aware of what the causative factor was for her. Now, she stored a lot of toxins in these fat cells for decades. And now she loses these fat cells, they break out, and the emotions that were stored now go into the system. And that despair hit her bowel. She also had skin problems too, ironically. Lung, large intestine governed skin. And so we just made her body aware, and she had this magnificent healing. What an amazing body we have. I could talk from now till the cows come home about stories very similar to that. And it's just remarkable when a patient gets it, and you can see it in their eyes, and their eyes snap to attention, and their face changes almost immediately.
That is, you know, so interesting, because that was me. Since the beginning of my life, as far as I can remember, you know, sometime around that 8-9 area, you know, sometime around then, and I've had diarrhea pretty much ever since, until, you know, I got, Liz had helped me with kefir, and that really squared things away.
Sure.
You know, but, and I had a lot of antibiotics, cause I did a lot of things I shouldn't do. So, anyway.
But, and Bill, let me add, you've also cleared out a ton of the trauma from your physical body. And the work with cognitive movement that we do, we signal the nervous system, maybe a lot in the same way you're talking about, Dr. Frisch, about, you know, once the brain is aware of the pattern that is harmful to the body, it deletes it. So we trigger the body to do that. And so that's another thing that, you know, Bill has done is, you know, become fully aware of some of those traumas. And there's, you know, different ones become available as others clear. And so I think this one that Dr. Frisch found for you, Bill, is a one of the more final that need to be deleted around that specific pattern. So we are up against our break again. This conversation is going way too fast. Just fair warning for everybody, we know we're going to do an extended conversation with this, so hold on for that. We will be right back. Let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. We are talking with Dr. Todd Frisch about WTF, why the face, and that Dr. Frisch did facial readings for both Bill and I that were super, super interesting. So Dr. Frisch, how did you do that? In both cases, you know, for myself, I would say the reading was 99.9% accurate. And the only, you know, fraction of percent that isn't, I think maybe something I haven't thought of yet. I don't understand yet. It was so fascinating that the reading, either you're a really, really good psychic, or this is a really good science, but it spoke to things that are part of my, you know, inner self-talk. You know, things that I don't say to other people, but I inherently do know about myself, right?
Right.
So even just the three face shapes that you said apply to my face, mm-hmm. There was a third one that I could hear you kind of being like, I don't know that this fits, but it's there. And I'm like, oh no, it's there. But it's one of those things that's an inner dialogue, something really only I know. So the question is, how did you do that?
Yeah, you know, interesting. I've been asked by the military to assess 1,000 soldiers to determine PTSD and traumatic brain injury. Mild, moderate, severe, or non-existent. And we thought we'd be flooded with 1,000 pictures instantly. And I did this free of charge. The military wants to find a faster way to assess and diagnose PTSD. It costs the government, if the soldier doesn't kill himself, typically north of $600,000 to treat a PTSD soldier. And as a matter of fact, of the soldiers that said, not one of them didn't have PTSD, 100%. And the majority of them had traumatic brain injuries. So I don't know anything about these people. I don't know their rank. I don't know what division of the military they're in. But I got feedback. It turns out to be a general who's part of the group that's behind trying to get these soldiers helped in a quicker way. Now, they're not going to treat them the way I think they should treat them. They're going to give them medications. And I think there are better ways. Not against medication, but there are ways that you can support these people. But his comment was, I was too accurate. I must be psychic. I kind of was insulted by that. We all have gifts, and I certainly have a gift. You too have gifts, and those are watching this. If you see these lines on all three of us right here as they come down, mine are as deep as you'll see on a human being. And they're called Fa Ling lines. F-A-L-I-N-G. Fa-ling means purpose and spiritual strength. Now, these lines form in an effort to help mankind. If you're all about helping your own pocketbook, you will not develop following lines. Putin doesn't have following lines.
For the radio, tell everybody what you're talking about, which lines.
Oh, I'm sorry. So their lines run from the corner of the nose to the corner of the mouth. And mine are deep, and now they go past the corner of the mouth. That's a sign they're under too much stress. There's lots of factors. If one's deeper than the other, they come together. There's meanings to all these things. But again, these nasal labial lines is what they're called. Again, indicate purpose, that we found our purpose, we're living our purpose, and we have great spiritual strength. And if I'm using spiritual strength to help me with my diagnosis, I'm way okay with that. The interesting thing is we have a course that you can actually take to learn to do facial diagnosis. And it is so rewarding to get calls from these practitioners. Some are doctors, some are health coaches, some are nurses and whatever. And they get it. And I'll help them with the first and the second. By the third, they're experts. Now, I tell everyone, you're going to learn 83% of what you need to know by taking the course. The other 17%, that's 40 years of experience. That's where the expertise truly comes. So, I've got the only difference between someone that's not taking my course and me is I got 45 years of experience in this world. So, you do hone those skills. And with you, one of your face shapes didn't go with what I see on your face, and it has to do with jade. Your cheekbones are wider than your face, so they come out a little bit. Jade is a very hard gem, and jade faces tend to be hard and just tough. They like everything to be their idea. But I really felt your face didn't show that jade quality, although I'm sure you have some jade tendencies. But I think there are events in life that have hardened you, and that has created a need for a jade face. Will you take on some of those things? Sure. People will say, you feel a little cold about this. You're not emotionally connected and that kind of thing. But again, it's more what has happened in your life that helped your face form the shape that it is.
Well, actually, it's so fascinating because this is one of those, unless you know me really well, or unless you're inside my own head, you may not know this thing about me. So I actually think it's less of what happened, because there are things that have happened, but I'm not a person with massive trauma in my life that most people would classify that way. But I am a person who has different perspectives, like around things like death, things that might make someone else deeply sad, I have a different understanding about, which looks cold to other people. Mm. It is not, it's a universal understanding and a universal expansion, but I don't have that connected to the emotion that would create crying and that breakdown. And so it's a joke you're so cold-hearted, right?
But, now, but people, you're not.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm but there is that aspect. And so there isn't a way you would have known that about me, but it's there. It's right on the facial reading. So that was very interesting. So you, if you want to, you can tell everybody the other parts of the face shape, because it's interesting. One of them, when you hear it, I was like, wait a minute, I don't like the sound of that. And the other one sounds very magnanimous. So you can go ahead and share it if you want to.
Yeah, so both of you are somewhat of a tree face. There's length to your face. Trying to think of a famous person as a tree face. Michael Phelps, classic example of a tree face. And he looks like a tree, very tall, powerful legs. This, you know, incredible swimmer, Olympic gold medalist. So the tree face that both of you have tells us both of you are deeply rooted. You can take the winds of life very, very well. But you also like to grow on your own. You want to see what that sky has to offer. As I said to both of you, the worst job in the world for you would be indoors with no windows. Send you straight to hell. It would just be very unhealthy.
Straight to hell.
Very unhealthy for you to have that. The thing that's most, the most wonderful thing about a tree face is your ability to spread your branches and protect. The problem I have with my female tree faces is they were so into taking care of others, they kind of forgot to take care of themselves. So I'd speak into their lives in a way, and part of my reason for facial diagnosis was patient compliance. I knew how to speak into someone's life in a way that they were going to hear. I knew the music that was playing in the head. If they came in with the waltz, I didn't want to come in and do the cha-cha with them. I wanted to do the waltz with them so I could communicate in a way that they would understand. So for my tree face females, I would say, look, you love to help others. Oh, I do. And then I would say, well, what if you couldn't do that? And then the tears would kind of well in their eyes. And I said, look, we need to spend a little time on you. Just let's do some things to help you become very healthy so you can do the things that your creator wants you to do, which is helping others. The other face you have is Bucket. So that's the
that's the one that just doesn't sound nice.
Yeah, but you know, I'm a Buckethead. So as I said, I love this face. We like to put things in our bucket. We have a thirst for knowledge that's unquenchable. We are the thought leaders. We are absolutely, we can sit in a chair all day and think. We need nothing. We don't need music. We don't need TV. We don't need movies. We just need our brain. We love the process of thinking. There's no book on earth that shouldn't be personally owned by us and opened by us. So the problem with us bucket faces is, we bucket faces, is we tend to overthink. And I've had to learn to rein that in as a physician, because it would just, I mean, I was getting to the point I couldn't sleep. I'm so involved in trying to help people that in using my great bucket head in gathering data, that it was affecting me from a health standpoint. I had to learn to dance with it a little bit. So that's that bucket quality. Then the last was the jade, which is that little hard aspect that is there. So Bill is a tree face, and he's got some earth face. So he's very down to earth, a very earthy approach to life. The thing about male earth faces is they'll tend to use humor as a crutch to get out of, you know, negative experiences. They'll use they'll kind of joke their way out of it. But again, it's just earth faces are very strong. Bill has a really strong constitution. He got that from a father who probably drank. My father gave me my strong constitution. He also died when I was 9 years old. So I'm not happy about that. But at the same time, I appreciate him giving me the strong constitution. If you have a weak constitution, what's your genetic makeup? You can't become an alcoholic, because alcohol nails you right off the bat. People like Bill and I, we can do things to our body that aren't wise, but because of our strong constitution, we don't take the hit. Later on, we will, but currently, you know, we can kind of handle that. So every face is, knowing what they are is very helpful. There's something called a fire face. Fire face are like an upside down triangle. Very, very narrow chin, very wide forehead. They're very, very bright, but they're sensitive. Fire takes hold, it burns very, very quickly. So if a fire face comes into my office, in my report of findings, I will not say, look, you got three things going on. You're in big trouble. You got to jump on this right now. You got to fix this. And they'll not come back. What you say to a fire face is, look, you've got three things going on, but we need to respect your sensitivity. So we're going to start working in one area. And normally I'd support this with three different things, but we're going to start with one thing. Let's just do a half dose. So see how your body, your very sensitive body, accepts this. And that patient instantly changes. They think, oh my God, somebody finally understands me. And they become very compliant. It almost sounds sinister when I say it that way. But this was me trying to help them reach a level of restored health that they weren't capable of getting to, simply because I knew how to speak into their life based on the face, shape of their face. Does it sound woo-woo and hokey? Not for me, because I did it for 4.5 decades.
You know, actually, that's interesting, because there is an NLP, neuro-linguistic programming principle, about changing your tone, changing your countenance, changing your cadence to match a person you're talking to so that they feel heard. There's a term called very active listening. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that people complain about the most going into the doctor, is they just didn't hear me. Even natural doctors, they just didn't listen to me. They had an idea of what was going on, and they just wouldn't hear what I was talking about. So this ability of yours to just be able to see by their face shape, by what's going on in their face, how you might be able to reach them, I'm sure makes people feel deeply and incredibly heard. So everybody, we just have 2 minutes left of this interview, and we're going to continue on in an after conversation about this subject specifically. Why does it matter so much being heard in the doctor's office? And we're going to dig more into our readings, Bill's and mine. Would you please, Dr. Frisch, we've got a minute and a half left, tell everybody how they can actually work with you or reach with you or reach your products.
Yeah, we certainly have a website. It's whythefacefrisch.com. I also have, you know, drtoddfrisch.com. My other company is Shape Reclaimed. It's shapereclaimed.com. So any of those will work. My email address is drtodd@shapereclaimed.com. If you go to the whythefacefrisch.com, I can actually, you can sign up to do a facial diagnosis. I can just give you a written, or I can do personally with you. That's significantly more expensive if I would spend an hour going through it. But, you know, the book's available on Amazon, or you can go to our website, and if you want a signed copy, I can mail it to you. All those things are certainly going to be available.
Well, that is wonderful. So, Bill, will you join us in the next conversation?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Okay. For now, everybody, I highly encourage you to look into Dr. Frisch's website and the book. And it's fun to have the facial reading, so do that as well. But everybody out there in UK Health Radio land, until next week, be safe and be well. If you want to join us on the next conversation, that will be anywhere that you like to listen to your podcasts. Or if you want to see our actual faces and know what Dr. Frisch is talking about, join us on YouTube at the Cogno Movement channel. All right, you guys, we'll see everyone on the flip side.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective radio show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.